particularly when it comes to talking money, give us a call. Because the boys from Goldsborough Financial Services are with us, Brent and Meagle and Lachlan Harvey. Afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Hello.
We've just been sitting here doing a workshop trying to figure out a fancy title for them. But they were really boring, what we came up with.
I just say, call me anything, just don't call me late.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you're just plain straight up financial advisors.
Look, both Brenton and I are certified financial planners, so I suppose that's an official term.
Yeah.
But people can call us financial advisors because the two terms are probably interchangeable.
Mm.
Some people might call themselves financial educators because that's part of what we do, is talk about money issues to people, help people through their financial problems.
If you come up with a fancier title, you might get a higher salary.
Yeah, I'll leave that up to
point.
You,
Alan. I'll talk to the boss about that.
I'll pass that on. Of course, Brenton and Lachlan are here from Goldsborough Financial Services, as we've said, and we emphasise that anything they talk about today is in general terms only. It's not to be taken as direct advice and acted upon. Instead, you need to make an appointment and have a talk to the boys face-to-face. The number, if you want to make any queries about your financial situation at the moment, give them a call, 8223 0000. You've had some retirement planning seminars and some full houses, I believe.
We have. We do those every month, and it's a really great opportunity for people that are thinking about retirement-related issues. In fact, all the people that came in on Tuesday were planning their retirement quite soon. So they were all working and planning their retirement soon. And it was really great. It's great to have that informal conversations with people in that environment where they're really just there to get information, and that's what we provide, as well as have a discussion around the retirement planning issues. And for some people, it might be what to do with their superannuation. Other people might be trying to work out where they sit in the whole scheme of being able to collect an age pension,
what age
does that kick in, how much are you allowed to have in assets before that causes a problem, all of those sort of questions. And once you start hearing other people's questions, you start thinking of your own, and it's good to have that conversation in that environment.
And Brenton, it's really important, isn't it, to keep update, because the rules keep on changing.
The rules change pretty regularly is probably one way to describe it. And so from our perspective, part of our job with our retirement seminars in particular is making sure the information we give is as up-to-date as possible. I guess a good example of that is the Centrelink rates. So when it comes to the age pension, as we've said many a time on radio, there's an asset test and an income test.
Yep.
And the rates for those do change marginally a couple of times a year. And so being on top of what those rate changes are and what the limits and thresholds are means that we can give, you know, as accurate and up-to-date information as possible. But it also helps those people that are retiring with their planning. Am I going to get a pension, or how much tax will I or won't I pay? And so those are the sorts of issues that, you know, we talk about as part of that seminar.
And there are a number of strategies you can explore under the rules to ensure that your future is looking a bit more secure.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no... I say to all my clients, and I'm sure Lachlan's the same, there's no one right or one wrong answer.
Right. Mm.
It's a matter of what's most appropriate for your individual situation. And that's where, you know, with the experience and the background that we've both got and all of the advisors at Goldsborough have got, we're in a position where we've got the knowledge and experience to be able to talk about a whole raft of options and then try and identify or understand what might be the best or a couple of really good options to suit you.
And there's always little tips and loopholes and, you know, just quirks with the rules, and it's different for people of different ages. So often with couples, there might be a bit of an age gap in between the older member of the couple and the younger, and there's sometimes some problems that can cause from a financial planning point of view, and there's sometimes some opportunities, little things like that we need to take
into
account.
Now, the official retirement age is 67 at the moment, 65.
Official retirement age is 65.
And it's going to be 67.
Has been forever and a day. Age, pension age. Has increased from 65 and will be 67 in about 3 years' time, officially. And look, as sure as God made little green apples, it'll be pushed out to 70 over the next decade or so. Mm. That's a reasonable
thing. Thanks for that news. Yeah, ripper. So, bearing that in mind, would it be worth my while coming to you guys to look specifically at the retirement plan if I'm in my 50s, my early 50s?
Yeah, so good question. What age is the ideal time to get financial advice? It's never too early or too late. We meet with people that have already retired, and they've already made a lot of decisions in that process of deciding to retire in the first place, giving their notice at work. They've made some decisions around what they want to do with their superannuation, their long service leave payments and things like that. But we would much rather have conversations before people have settled upon all of those decisions. So at least a few years before retirement, because in those lead up years to your retirement date, there's a lot of things that you can try and do to boost your overall savings at retirement.
Yeah.
So little things like maximising your salary sacrifice,
planning good point. Mm.
What you do with your super through transition to retirement strategies, things like that, they're well worth talking about as early as possible.
Mm.
The way I look at it for clients, and something I get a kick out of when I'm dealing with particularly those clients looking to retirement, is to be able to say to them, you can choose when to retire rather than retirement choose you.
Yes, good point.
And so if you're getting in and seeing a financial planner and getting that guidance and direction from whether it's mid-30s, mid-40s, mid-50s, I saw a young guy at 22 or 3 about a month ago starting to think longer term. Now, for him, he's got 40 years of working life plus, etc. But he's starting to think through what are the options. So if you were to come in your 50s and say, look, here's where I want to be and where I think I want to retire, you can then set the wheels in motion to know that you can retire comfortably on your terms rather than get to age, pension age, and go, well, I've got to retire because I've got no choice,
yeah,
or there's health issues that come along and the like.
No, really good point. Gee, you know, he's really planning ahead. Good on him.
Absolutely. Hey, at the other end of the scale, I have a lovely 89-year-old lady who I know will be listening, and she came and saw me. First time seeing a financial advisor in 30 years. And she came and saw me last year, and we put some really great investment plans in place for her. So hello to that person that's listening. She knows who she is.
Never too late.
Never too late.
Yeah. So as far as keeping up to date on the changes and so forth, the downsize super scheme that's been introduced, it came into force this financial year, hasn't it? I think it was this financial year.
Yep, so this is live.
So it means that, you know, I've got the family home, the 4-bedroom, 3 bathrooms, the kids have moved out. What do I do?
Downsizing is one of those things that people often start to think about. Maybe it's in their 60s, it might be in their 70s, it might even be in their 80s or beyond. Some people are forced to downsize because their health is such that they can't keep up with the maintenance of a property. They just don't want to be mowing lawns, or they don't need 3 bedrooms and a pool, things like that. So there's lots of reasons why people downsize, but the financial implications can sometimes be complex because downsizing does not always mean down pricing. Sometimes it just means going into something that's a bit easier, a bit lower maintenance, maybe a bit newer. It doesn't always mean that you're going to get it for cheaper. Mm. And in some instances, it can actually be more expensive once you factor in agent's fees for selling, stamp duty for buying, and the costs of moving from A to B.
There are a couple of caveats, aren't there? I have to be over 65 to be able to do this.
To contribute to super, to contribute
the money that money I get from that super. Sale to super. Yeah,
yeah. You do have to run through a checklist of whether you are allowed to put that money into super. So let's just use an example. Let's say someone sells a $500,000 house and moves into a $400,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
There's $100,000 that can be added to super if someone's over age 65, but only if they meet some very specific criteria.
And what are those criteria?
So from a criteria point of view, as Lachlan said, over 65, you must have owned the house and it's been your primary place of residence for a period of at least 10 years.
Right, okay.
So now that 10 years can be broken. So you might have lived in it for a few and then moved somewhere in terms of rented somewhere, perhaps for work or otherwise, moved back in, but you have to have been a resident for 10 years. That's probably the two main ones. The house can be in one name of a couple, not necessarily in joint names, and both members can make a superannuation contribution. So, again, you're not necessarily tied into the house is in, if I may, Alan's name, and you have to put it in your name in super. It can go to a significant other along the way.
And is there a limit as to how much I can put in? You gave the example of $100,000
of cash floating around. Yeah, it's $300,000 per person.
Per person. So I could actually put six in, the two partners.
For couples, it can be $300,000 each. And this opens
mind you, that's good sale, isn't it? Yeah, Toop and Toop have done well there.
Yeah. Well, I think they do well anyway. There's always properties being transacted, and a lot of those transactions are for people over the age of 65. It just happens all the time. One really interesting part of these rules is that you don't have to be downsizing or downpricing in order to take advantage of putting the super contribution in. And I'll explain what I mean by that because it takes a bit of understanding. If, for instance, you were selling a $600,000 home and buying a $600,000 home,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's just a cash flow neutral transaction. Usually the golden rule is don't sell your home, don't buy your home before you've got the cash from the sale of your home, because otherwise you end up in a situation where you could have to, there could be some financing issues.
Bridging finance, or sort of
coming up with some arrangement. This is a great way for people to use their existing super to buy the new home, and then when they sell their home, they can top up their super fund as if...
Does that make sense?
So we're using the super money first to buy the home, and you can actually have that crossover period where you actually own two homes. You then settle for your existing home, and the money is used to replace that money that you've used in super. And that could apply potentially to anyone that's got superannuation that's in that situation.
I didn't know you could get your super to do that.
Well, you could. If your superannuation's set up as a retirement income stream, like an account-based pension, then that money is available to be able to withdraw, to do whatever you like. The trap is typically, and in the past, you haven't been able to get the money back in to replace it. So you're left with the proceeds of the sale of your home outside of super, and they don't have the tax advantages that the superannuation would have. So this is a great way that people can use their super to help with the financing of a new home.
So to be able to do that, I still have to be over 65? Does that same condition apply?
Still got to be over 65, definitely. Mm. One of the other things to point out is we've often said that if you're over 65 and you're wanting to put money into superannuation, you've got to meet a work test.
Mm.
And that work test is 40 hours of gainful employment in a 30-day period. Under the downsizer rules, the work test doesn't apply. So in that regard, you've got the opportunity to put money into super, as Lachlan's been explaining, without having to meet that work test.
Right, okay.
The other rule I should have mentioned earlier is you must make the superannuation contribution within 90 days of settlement.
Right, okay.
So it can't be that I settle on the property today, sit on the money for the next 8 or 9 months and go 28th of June next year, oh, wow, I better put some money in. Won't apply. And there is some formal paperwork you've got to lodge with it. But yes, no work test, and it must be done within the 90 days. So it is, it's a great way of setting up potentially your superannuation to then go to your estate completely tax-free, because there's some taxation rules behind the scenes that mean that to use Lachlan's example, the $300,000 that you've already got in super might be all taxable on your death, but the new $300,000 you put in under the downsizer rules is all going in tax-free, goes to your estate tax-free. So there can be some estate planning advantages along the way.
It's a really good scheme, isn't it? Have you had many people actually taking it up? Because it's only been in for a month or so.
No, it's pretty new. So I think a lot of people that might have sold their home last year might have sort of wished perhaps they'd waited. But, you know, that's just the way that things go sometimes. No, look, it's something that we see enormous potential for, but we haven't seen a lot of people sort of rushing and saying, hey, look, I'm about to sell the house. I need to get some planning in place. But I think they should, because I think that even if you don't have any plans whatsoever to put the money into super, like Brenton mentioned, there are still some strategies that people can take advantage of, which might make your existing super more tax-friendly by using these rules.
We have Brenton and Lachlan with us from Goldsborough Financial Services sorting out all of your money issues. So give us a call if you've got any queries, 8223 0000. Got a good text here, gents, from Colin. He's saying, we're in our early 70s. We've got no debt. We own our own home. We have limited cash. Is reverse mortgage an option to enhance our pension, or a loan from Centrelink? Apparently $45,000 is available.
Let's start with the reverse mortgage side of things, perhaps. A reverse mortgage is where you go and see a lender, and there's only a limited number of lenders that offer this service. It can be called a seniors loan or reverse mortgage. They take a mortgage over your home. So in this situation, you're going from having no debt to a debt. And you borrow a certain percentage as a maximum of the value of your home. So if the home's worth $400,000, it might be that the maximum you can borrow is 20% of the value.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of paying regular interest payments or interest and principal payments on a reverse mortgage, the reverse mortgage debt compounds. So it keeps growing in value until you either sell the property or death us do part, and then yes, the property is obviously sold in that situation. So you're paying interest on the loan. It's compounding. You can make voluntary payments off the loan. And it's a way of giving you an additional lump sum to either enhance, you know, cash flow, so have money in the bank to meet living costs. It may be that you're wanting to do some modifications or renovations to your home to make it more comfortable. It might be you're wanting to renovate and make the place look $1 million for sale purposes. Mm. So there can be a place for it.
Can you use it to have the holiday, the cruise of your life?
Yeah, so you can.
So there's no limits on what you can spend it.
Okay. Whatever you want to do. Mm. You always, the lender will always make you go and see a financial planning professional to understand the implications associated with it. Particularly, again, I emphasise the fact that that debt doubles. That debt compounds. So if you've got an interest rate of about 7%, which is around the money for where the reverse mortgages are at the moment, your debt will double about every 9 or 10 years.
So the interest rate's fairly high.
Relative to a standard mortgage, absolutely.
So no repayments, no interest repayments, but the bank they get their money back when you sell the home.
Yeah.
And if you sell the home when you die, they take it off your estate as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I better off going and getting a loan?
Oh, well, here's another option, and this is an option that's becoming available next year. It needs to be legislated and go through Parliament, but there has been an announcement that this is going to happen as of July next year, and they call it a pensioner's loan through Centrelink.
Yep.
And what they're really doing is if you're on a part pension at the moment, you can get a loan to top you up to the full amount of pension, and that debt, if you like, accrues against your home as an asset.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, as of next year, what they're planning on doing is allowing people to take 1.5 times the full pension to top up their income so that it's greater than the actual full pension. You get a higher level of income, but again, that debt accrues against your home. And the government is basically taking a mortgage against your home
to do it.
So they are sort of a non-bank lender in that seniors equity space.
What interest rate is involved there then?
Nothing's been specified about that at this point in time.
Okay. Right.
It's possible that there's no interest on it. I'd be pretty surprised if there is, but I would suspect it may be lower than what a reverse mortgage is. But again, we don't know that for sure. I guess the difference between the two is one gives you regular fortnightly income, one can give you a lump sum. So you've sort of got to weigh up which way to go. If you go down the road of having the loan scheme through Centrelink, because there is a caveat or a loan as such against your home, you may not be able to get a reverse mortgage, because to get a reverse mortgage, your home has to be freehold.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, probably an either-or situation. Yeah.
So I don't know that you can't be able to do both. Mm. Again, as Lachlan said, the government Centrelink scheme, that's still to be formally legislated and approved, and if it goes ahead, I think it's July next year that it'll come in. It's an option for some people, just to give them some additional cash flow. The amount of the debt depends on what level of age pension you're entitled to, and then the top-up. And it's that top-up amount that every fortnight, if you like, goes against the value of your home.
Yep. Great, Colin. I hope that helped. Robert, is it CFU Downs? Got a superannuation question. G'day, Robert.
Oh, good afternoon. I wanted to talk to you about downsizing. Sorry, I missed your earlier discussion, but I'm aware of the rules for downsizing. However, I know there was a comment about this may affect your ability to get a pension. Now, at the moment, I'm not able to do that because of my assets, but what effect does downsizing and putting up to $300,000 into super have on my ability to obtain a pension at a later date?
Great question. Thank you. Robert, the real issue here is your own home is an exempt asset for Centrelink purposes. And at the moment, there's no limit on how much you're allowed to have tied up in your own home and have sitting there as an exempt asset. Now, if you sell that exempt asset and buy another home, which is an exempt asset, if that home is of a lower value and you end up taking some extra cash, then that's going to push your assets test up and potentially reduce your pension or cut you off. And that's really the only issue. As far as weighing up superannuation versus non-superannuation options, typically the treatment's going to be the same for Centrelink. So the real issue is how much is your home worth and how big an asset is that to take advantage of those exemptions that are in place?
I was proposing to sell but not to purchase another property, as that's not required under the downsizing, and just simply to put the $300 into super. Now, I'm assuming that what they're saying is that $300 in super will then count as an asset.
Yeah, that will. And in that case, if you're not buying a new home, you're going from being a homeowner to a non-homeowner. Non-homeowners are allowed a little bit more in assets to compensate for the fact that they don't have their own home as an exempt asset. So non-homeowners are allowed an extra $200,000 over and above what a homeowner normally would be.
Yeah, I've currently got another asset that I'll be moving into, but I don't need to purchase it. So I would be looking at putting the $300,000 straight into super.
Yep.
For a lot of people, if they go from being a homeowner to a non-homeowner, it could potentially reduce their pension or possibly wipe them out, just given those rules, because you're allowed an extra $200,000. But often when people are downsizing or selling their home altogether, they're in many cases going to receive more than $200,000 for the sale of their home.
Yep. All right, Robert.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good on you. Thanks for your call, mate. Good question. Good conversation, gentlemen. We could talk about this for hours, couldn't we?
Sure.
We might do it again next time.
I was going to say, we're going to put up a blog on our website, goldsborough.com.au, in the next 24 hours or so, and Lachlan's going to explain quite a bit more of the downsizer stuff. So we'd encourage people to have a look at our website. We've got a whole raft of different blogs that are on there, but as I say, there'll be one up there in the next day or so on the downsizer contributions.
Yeah, if you're looking for retirement information, it's a good place to start.
And you get to see these good-looking blokes as well. Goldsborough Financial Services, you'll find them at 120 Green Hill Road in Unley. The phone number is 83784000, 83784000. Call now and make an appointment to see the chaps. Or as Brenton said, go to goldsborough.com.au and get all the details there and see the blogs and you can see what they look like as well.
might frighten them.
Put a face to the voice. Yeah, no, don't do that.
It's a great website.